you missed it live. Catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.
Talking with Sanyu Samatimba, who's head of creative arts and events department at the African Leadership Academy. Sanyu, very good. It's Sanyu. Why do I say Sanyu? Sanyu, very good evening to you. Welcome. And by the way, compliments of the new season. It's good to see you.
Good evening. It's so lovely to be here. Thank you so much for having me. And compliments of the season to you too. I'm so excited for our conversation tonight.
Well, let's just start off with just give our listeners a sense of what you do before we get into what you foresee for this year, and especially around your career, the projects that you're involved in.
Yes. My name is Sanyu Sematimba. I am originally a graphic designer by profession. I studied at Greenside Design Center, and I'm extremely passionate about design. I realized in my fourth year, I sort of went through a designer existential life crisis. I used to identify as a Pan-African, but my design style was not Pan-African at all.
That's interesting. In what way?
So I am obsessed with things like Swiss-based design, and I love minimalist design movements. And my design was very, very clean. Was very inspired by European design because that was what we were being taught in our school. But my whole movement was about Pan-Africanism and trying to show people about African design. But my design language was completely contradictory to what I stood for. So I spoke to my lecturers and I said, "Hi guys, why don't you guys teach us anything about like African design? Like, what are other African designers doing?" And they said, "Well, that's what we were taught." So I said, "Okay, cool. Let me try and figure out what's happening on the rest of the continent." So I typed out in Google South African designers, and I typed out African designers, and what came on the Google was just South African fashion designers. I'm like, no. I want to know what are designers doing on the continent? What is the language? What are we doing? And then through that, I realized that we didn't have a platform to showcase the upcoming African creative work. What are designers doing? What is the language? What are we trying to communicate on Africa as a whole? So I was only getting stuff about South Africa, but I wanted to know what was happening in Tunisia or Uganda or Ghana, and there was no platform for that. And through that frustration, I created a platform called the African Collective. So that was the first bit of way of inventing something, and I realized that design was a powerful tool. I realized that I was able to design something, not just something that was aesthetically pleasing, but something that could make a difference in my local community. And I designed it because I felt like we didn't have anything. I was trying to understand what African design language was, what were people doing, how are we moving in the next 10 years, could we predict things? So I decided to create a platform, and that was my honors year. And because of that platform, I received a lot of attention from the Design Indaba, the Emerging Creatives platform, and then the Gates Foundation, which selected me to be a goalkeeper because of the platform I created.
And just for the listeners' benefit, you and I met as goalkeepers the Gates Foundation. We were recognized in the same year in 2023. And yours is SDG Goal 4, which is on education, and mine is 3 on SRHR. So I want to go back to that goal, SDG 4, education, and I love the fact that you are using not only your passions, your knowledge, but you know, the curriculum that we expose our children to. We don't realize how much it can help grow, or how it really suffocates the freedom of expression, especially around identity.
Exactly. So after I finished the African Collective, I was like, okay, I'm an honors now. What do I need to do? So most designers go into industry, they go work in big firms. And I was still frustrated because I felt like I had lost quite a bit. I could have learned more if it was implemented in my curriculum. Mm-hmm. And that's why I decided to go into education. So because education is such a powerful tool, I realized that if we can change the curriculum and influence the curriculum, imagine what the power of design can do. When I speak about design, I'm not just speaking about something that is aesthetically pleasing. At my design school, we learned about design thinking as a tool. Design can be used as a tool to solve problems. So design thinking is a human-centered design approach that's used to solve anything. So when we say human-centered, we're talking about things that we're not trying to design a solution that's going to make us money, but really understanding the crux of who we're trying to design for, and then really designing for that, and then getting feedback on that. So in design school, we learned how to do that, but not within the African context. And that's where the education part came in. So I used to lecture at a university, and I'd redesigned their curriculum, and it was beautiful. But the push was that, listen, your curriculum is nice, but we don't need this sort of curriculum yet. We're just trying to get our students by. And I was like, no, we can't do this. We need to have curriculum that can teach students not just about the power of making something beautiful, but the practicality of how powerful design can be used as a tool. And I always give this example. We are in South Africa. We used to have load shedding, and we have a lot of sun. Why don't we use design to create cell phones that, for example, are solar powered? You know, we should be teaching our students to do that. And my mission is to develop the continent, but I'm specifically doing it through design or creative education. So the work that I do basically is that I teach creatives that not just how to specialize in their specific craft, but that they can be creative, ethical, entrepreneurial leaders. You can start a business with your craft. You can be a leader in your craft. So the whole thing is, how can we teach creatives that they can lead movements, that they can inform people, that they can create design that is sustainable? And yeah, so basically that's what I do.
Let me then ask about the future of work then within the creative space.
Yes.
And also within the education space, because, and it's not surprising for me to hear, it's almost like when you're growing up, they're like, you're too young to do this. You're always being held back because of someone's thinking that you need to be at a certain age, you need to have a certain, I don't know, implements around you for you to be able to learn something new, to be exposed to something that they neither have also been exposed to. So when you teach, and also bring the African Leadership Academy into this, that how do you navigate these conversations to people who are completely ill-exposed to what you're talking about? It's a completely new thing.
So I now work at an organization called the African Leadership Academy. And our mission is Africa has leaders, but we don't have ethical entrepreneurial leaders. So what we do at the academy is that we outsource high-performing students that perform really well academically from around the continent. Brilliant, very young. So we're talking about students from the ages of 14 to about 20, it ranges. And I like to call it like a pre-university course. So students basically finish their A-levels. But the difference is that not our students are not just high-performing academically, but are doing things in their local communities. So, for example, when I started working there in 2019, I had a student that had built two high schools and two primary schools. He was about 17 years old, and he raised the money, learned how to make the bricks, and he literally was like, cool, I'm going to build a school in my community because we don't have a school. So those are the type of students we have. Where I come from is that I want that, but I want to focus specifically on creatives, right? So you are passionate about product design, you're passionate about architecture. How can you build something that is not just beautiful, but something that can benefit the community? So we already have students that want to make a change, want to make a difference. But the difference is that the students that I get from all over the continent are not necessarily encouraged to use anything creative to solve problems. So that's where I step in at the African Leadership Academy. I'm raising the next generation of creative, ethical, entrepreneurial leaders.
And you talk about building entrepreneurial talent.
Yes.
So how does Umuzi, for instance, play a role? And tell us first what Umuzi is.
Okay, so last year we started a festival called Umuzi. And Umuzi means your home. And I had a couple of students, and we realized that we have all these amazing initiatives in different sectors. We host something called ALA-MAU, which is the biggest Model African Union conference on the continent. But we had nothing for creatives. We had nothing to inspire, empower, and connect creatives. So I partnered up with my students in two departments, and they built a festival that literally one empowers young creators. So collected all your creatives. So basically the whole thing is Umuzi means your home. We want, when you go home, you eat, you sleep, you speak to your auntie, you're refreshed, you're empowered, and then you go back into the world. And that's what we want to do for young creatives, right? We want them to come to connect with different people. We want them to understand, to be fed, empowered. This is how you can start a business. This is how you price your work. This is what it means to be in the music industry. This is what it means to be in the film industry.
So it's holistic.
So exactly, it's a holistic, and not just like conversations, but we also have webinars, and we have seminars. We have workshops as well, like how do you play the marimba. Then we have plays and fashion shows as well that are all run by the students. So it's basically run by students. So I coach my students, and I show them how to run a festival. They do the program, they design, they do the marketing, and then they invite you to the bigger community. So our whole thing is this year we want to extend Umuzi to the larger community and just welcome young creatives. Pull through. Let's connect. Let's learn something. Let's partner up together, because we are stronger when we collaborate, right? So Umuzi is basically a festival that is there to equip young creatives, to show them that you can be a creative, ethical, entrepreneurial leader.
So one often hears that you should really work, or the work that you do should be something that should be passionate about.
Yes.
And I 100% agree with that. But it doesn't always translate into monetary, outcomes. So the rewards can be tangible in one way, but not in terms of putting a roof over your head. And we know a lot of, at least of the older generation, are very concerned about. So if you start talking about the creative economy, for now, you talk about being a singer, it's whoa. Like, you know the conversation. So
yes.
And we know we're talking AI, we're talking technology. So how would you integrate that creativity and technology, and also making sure that people have business savvy ideas?
Yes. So I think it's one important, and I like to tell my students this when they start, is that when they're creatives, you need to understand your craft, and you need to go and understand your business. So look at your craft as a business. You are the business.
Mm-hmm.
So at the school, at the institution, we teach students how to design business model canvases. So what I've done, I've said, okay, most times we teach you how to write a business plan, but now I want you to look at it, and the thing is, who are you as a creative? So yes, let's say you are a musician. What are you trying to communicate? What is your value proposition? How do you want to communicate to people, right? And looking at it like that. But then while we're integrating that, we also teach things like about grit and just pushing on. Entrepreneurship is not easy, right? And I think that some people think, okay, cool, I have an idea and I'm just going to make the money immediately. I think it's important for just entrepreneurs or young entrepreneurs to understand that it takes time. So, but what I like to do, I like to sort of adapt that for creatives and be like, okay, cool, now that you understand your mission, your vision, how do you market, and how do you adapt your craft to be able to, not adapt, or just create a niche in your craft so that you can have a strong value proposition and things that set you apart. So then doing that and then being able to show our students examples of people who are excelling and doing really, really well in creative fields. We also then have to expose our students to the different fields in the creative arts. I think when people think creative arts, they think I'm a singer, I'm an actor, or I paint. There are so many different fields and so many different things that are in the creative field. There is entertainment law. There is A&R. There's curating. There's education. There's product design. There's so many different things that our students, specifically on the continent, are not exposed to. So when you say to your parent that's African, I want to be a creative, they're like, oh no, you're going to not have money.
You're going to starve.
You're going to starve. No, be a lawyer, be a doctor. But what I do like to do is that I like to expose my students to people who are exceeding and doing, who are excelling in the creative field, and then getting them to engage. So we host workshops and things like that.
So I'd want to end at this point where we began, because I thought it was very interesting that you are a Pan-African who found herself being drawn more to Eurocentric design.
Yes.
And you've done a 360 and said, no, let's change this situation.
Yes.
And have that here.
Yes.
Where we expose more and more young African children and it's not because these innovations were never there before. It's the interpretation, it's the knowledge systems that are out there. So, but I also want you to speak to, just to end off, is there anything wrong with being attracted to something that's completely outside of your belief systems, your identity markers? How do you marry the two so that it's not conflictuous?
So I don't think there's anything wrong with it at all. And I still love Eurocentric design. I just think that when you are a designer, it's important to understand your why, your purpose. And my purpose has always been to expose the world, find into showing, to developing the continent and understanding that design can change the economic, the socioeconomic status of the continent. So I never think in separating things. I think that you can live, I think that coexist, they can live together, yeah. They can coexist. But it's very important for you to understand your why. And if you understand your why, that informs everything else. So you can study different design movements and see, okay, cool, how were they successful here? And then because you're applying design, you are saying, okay, cool, this was cool, but then how do I apply this to this and apply it accordingly and something that is relevant to the situation that I'm in? And I think that's the power of design.
So your passion can be your purpose.
Your passion can be your purpose.
Thank you so much for joining us. Lovely conversation. Sanyu Sematimbez, head of the Creative Arts and Events Department at the African Leadership Academy. As you heard, that this journey that she's been through has seen her, you know, really receive a number of accolades. She's the founder of African Collective, and she launched Umuzi Pan-African Creative Festival to help expose people to some of the work that she does, including driving creative entrepreneurship through creative camps. That brings us to 22 minutes past 7. You're listening to Kaya Biz here on Kaya 959.
If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.